Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When the Pope was in Israel last month, he visited a church that is said to be built at the place where Jesus spoke the famous words, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And appropriately enough, the church there is built on a rock. The Pope, of course, thinks that the rock mentioned refers to himself. But no, the rock of the church is Christ, confessed as the Son of the living God, sent to be the Savior of the world, whose cross is the basis for loosing sinners from their bonds, and whose church is made up of the communion of forgiven believers, standing firm on Him as their rock and their eternal hope. The office of the keys is pictured here, in which the first part of confession is that we confess our sins. We are, in fact, poor, miserable sinners, and remain so until our dying hour. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But we are invited and urged to repent of our sins and confess them with heart and mouth as we do in the Lord's Prayer and in the general confession in the worship service, or privately to a pastor in telling him about some particular troublesome and burdensome sin that we know and feel in our hearts. But we are called to plead guilty. The impenitent heart does not plead guilty, even if it makes a hypocritical outward confession of sin. The impenitent heart does not have the recognition of the awfulness and the damnable nature of transgression. That is not there. The truth is not in him. So the prophet cries to us also, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." We must search our ways and our deeds in the light of God's law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We should consider his commandments and the stations of life into which he has placed us, whether we be father, mother, son, daughter, master, mistress, servant, whether we have been disobedient, unfaithful, slothful, whether we have grieved any person by word or deed, whether we have stolen, neglected, or wasted anything, or done any other injury. The outcome of such a search is obvious. President Barry wrote about it recently in the Lutheran Witness, saying, "There is not a commandment that we have not repeatedly broken. There is not a just person upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. And for all these repeated transgressions, we all deserve God's wrath and eternal punishment." There was a man who was once a believing Christian, but whose faith was eaten away by the acids of skepticism. Yet the day came when he was very ill and began to think about death. He asked a pastor with whom he had a cordial relation to visit him and to talk with him. He said to the pastor, "I know you will want to talk to me about religion, and I will listen so long as you don't try to say anything to me about Jesus Christ, for I don't believe that he was God." The pastor agreed to keep Christ out of their conversation. They spoke a great deal about God and his law and the justice by which he punishes transgressors. The sick man thought this all over and said, "If that is so, then I am lost." And the pastor had nothing to say to that and left him stewing in his anguish. The next day, he called for the pastor again and said, "I'm not only hurting in my body, but in my mind and soul also. give me some consolation. And the pastor replied, I would gladly give you some consolation, but I can't because you don't want to hear of Christ. Then tell me about Christ, said the man. And the pastor spoke about how the Son of God became man out of love for sinners, because only as man could he suffer to take away sin and punishment. The sick man repented and turned to Christ and heard the pastor speak words of forgiveness for Jesus' sake, and he died in faith. His last words were, "Jesus, my God, have mercy on me." That is the second part of confession, that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the pastor as from God himself, firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. The pastor, like the one in the story, points to Christ as the one who has taken away the sins of the world and applies this gracious fact to the penitent sinner. I forgive you all your sins. The pastor in that story was a Roman Catholic priest. And this is the happy inconsistency by which the people of the Pope's church so often come to build on the real rock of the church, Christ, and confession of faith in his redeeming grace. In confession and absolution, the penitent sinner says, in faith, I lay hold of the blood that he shed for me. I make his merit my own and say, for Jesus' sake, be merciful to me, a poor sinner. And henceforth, I will